The Israel Report with Rolling Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolling Marks, how are you?
Good, thanks, and you're a little bit chilly because it is raining and windy and cold and miserable, but tremendously grateful for it, I have to say.
Yeah, I am sure, because it hasn't been, well, it started to rain quite consistently now, hasn't it?
It has. It is rainy season in the Holy Land, which also leads to some really unholy driving by many.
Oh dear.
But we need it. We need it. The rains have come late this year, so we're really desperate for it and grateful for it. And my prayers to send some in your direction.
Absolutely. We'll send it here and we'll send it further down south to Cape Town. Rolene, can you just give us an update? There was a terror attack a little bit earlier today. What is the story there?
Well, what we do know is that border police stopped an attempted stabbing attack against members of their unit at the Tapuach Junction in the Samaria region of the West Bank. This was this afternoon. One of the officers noticed two suspicious-looking men in the area of a bus station, and the border police called these men to stop. One officer fired his firearm into the air. They continued to advance. One of them drew a knife, and one of the border police officers then shot and wounded both of the suspects, so they have been neutralized. And I think if you go into the Israeli press, you can see pictures of one of the men lying on the hands with his lying on the ground with his hands in the air and a bullet wound in his leg and the knife by his side. And the Samaria Regional Council head, Yossi Dagan, has said terror will not break us. So those are all the details that we know from this afternoon's attempted terror attack.
Wow. All right. Moving on to a subject a little bit further afield. The EU is under fire for meeting with a Holocaust-denying Iran MP. I thought most of them were.
Well, this is just like outrageous. So the European Parliament within the EU have been criticized for meeting with Iran's Aladin Bourjerdi, who is chairman of the Committee for Foreign Policy of the Islamic Republic's Parliament. And this, I mean, we are literally now 4 days away from International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And I don't know if you've joined in the We Remember campaign, but if you can, I urge you to do so. And this has really created an uproar because this is somebody who has participated in a conference featuring Holocaust deniers. And also for the crackdown of Iranian protesters against the regime in Tehran, which Howard, we spoke about quite extensively, seeing the European Union press probably didn't give it much coverage. And what we do know is that Anders Primdahl Vistisen, who is co-chair of the European Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee, said outrageous that the EP hosts Iranian delegation to talk about climate change, counterterrorism, and trade, anything but human rights, and hashtag Iran protests. Another Danish MP wrote that it is shocking that the EU will give the floor to a chair of Foreign Affairs and National Security Committee at Iran, and that he is a key figure in the violent crackdown on peaceful protests. And of course, from our perspective, he is a Holocaust denier, and we know Iran propagates the destruction of the state of Israel, and this now on the eve of us marking International Holocaust Memorial Day, which I must just stress is different to Yom HaShoah. It is not Yom HaShoah, and the reason that we celebrate or we commemorate Yom HaShoah on a different day is that ours falls in to mark the day of the start of the Warsaw Ghetto uprising, whereas this is an international day and it marks not just Jewish but all victims of the Holocaust.
Is this the international day recognized by the United Nations?
Yes, this is a day that is recognized by the United Nations. I mean, after the year that we've had with the United Nations and their various agencies, it almost seems like an oxymoron.
Absolutely, or they'll cancel it due to lack of interest on their side.
Could be, or probably sanction a resolution with, you know, propagating the most horrendous Holocaust revisionism. But the 27th of January coincides with the date that Soviet forces liberated Auschwitz. Auschwitz, the most notorious of the death camp, where of all the death camps, where over a million Jews were brutally murdered.
And unbelievable what goes on in Europe with this type of thing. Staying in that region, do you think that the EU is going to support a Palestinian state?
Well, it looks like Mahmoud Abbas appealed to the European Union to recognize a Palestinian state. And we have heard murmurings that a few countries, starting with Slovenia, may actually recognize a Palestinian state. But this past week has been score one for Israel and score a big fat zero for Mahmoud Abbas. You know, yesterday we discussed that, you know, it's actually outrageous that he's allowed a platform in the European Union just a week after spouting the most outrageous anti-Semitism and really putting the last torpedo in the peace process. Israel has made it very, very clear that we will not negotiate with anyone unless it includes the United States as a prominent negotiating partner. In fact, our government go as far as to say that the European Union are actually quite hostile towards Israel, and there's no way we can trust them to broker any kind of lasting peace. Neither can we trust the United Nations. Other players have
unfortunately, the EU or Europe in general has not exactly shown itself to be a friend of the Jewish people.
Exactly, and it doesn't help that a day after Mahmoud Abbas addresses the EU and appeals to them, they host a Holocaust denier.
Absolutely right. African asylum seekers protest deportation. We've been following this story. This is where Israel has made a decision to deport illegal immigrants in Israel.
It's a very, very difficult decision, and it's one that weighs very, very heavy on the collective Israeli psyche. You know, I notice on a lot of social media threads, there are those that say, you know, we are killing Africans, we are just deporting them, we're treating them inhumanely, and it's a very, very difficult decision. I mean, on the one hand, we have El Al pilots who are refusing to fly those we have to deport to dangerous countries. It's a big concern because, you know, because of our collective conscience, we don't want to see another people suffer. But the reality is that Israel, like other countries in the world, including South Africa. I mean, I do find it ironic that there are a number of South Africans who make statements forgetting South Africa's own less than hospitable past over the last couple of years with xenophobia and attacks.
Rolene, even as recently as today, there's been, in certain areas in South Africa, there's been murmurings of a fair amount of xenophobia, and it's a big concern in this country. And it's not to say either that South Africa hasn't deported Zimbabweans on a wholesale basis. So it's certainly South Africa doesn't have the right to talk. That said, it still is heartbreaking that people that have found refuge in Israel are going to be deported and sent to other regions. I do understand it, but I understand it with a very heavy heart, I must say.
Myself included, you know, I am proud that Israel allows, or is a democracy that allows, for these kind of protests to take place. I don't think that we would see peaceful protests like this in several other countries around the world if there are deportations. But it is very difficult. It's difficult on a number of fronts. It's something that is not easy for us, and it's something that really, really weighs heavy on our hearts.
The story of the L'Oreal model, I've seen this all over the press in the last short while. In fact, all of it, there have been a few of these what are they, not makeup companies, whatever they're called, cosmetic companies, have been in the press all with regard to Israel. Tell us about the anti-Israel L'Oreal model. What happened here?
Well, this is a L'Oreal model. Her name is Amina Khan. She was set to receive a prize from Revlon. She's a bloggist, but several years ago she tweeted some of the most vehemently disgusting anti-Semitic and anti-Israel tweets. She also refused her prize from Revlon because Gal Gadot, our magnificent Gal Gadot, is a spokesperson. She's a Gal Gadot an ambassador. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I have to correct myself. It wasn't Amina Khan. Amina Khan has resigned from L'Oreal because of her controversy. She accused Israel of the torture, the murder, and the rape of Palestinians and other nefarious things and is now out of a job. Another bloggist, Amani Al-Katakhbe, who is the founder of MuslimGirl.com, said she would not accept the Revlon Prize because Gal Gadot is an ambassador. And just like on the subject, I've also heard in my research or saw in my research today that the actor Mark Ruffalo, who plays the Incredible Hulk, also goes out of his way to avoid Gal Gadot because she's Israeli and has served in the IDF. But don't worry, Howard, in case you were worried, he says supporting the Palestinians is not anti-Israel. He's not an anti-Semite. It's just the human thing to do. But I suppose that discriminating against somebody who has never done him any harm, that's not discriminatory at all.
That's very upsetting, especially because I read somewhere he's going to be playing Columbo in the remake. So that's actually quite upsetting to hear that.
He's the Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
Or in my opinion, the Incredible Sulk, because he's really opining on issues that he knows very, very little about. He's a very, very vocal pro-BDS supporter, and I'm sure some of his best friends are Jewish. I mean, there's no way he's an anti-Semite at all, Howard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's actually the most terrible thing that this still is what we have to deal with on an ongoing basis. Time is just about to go 10 to 6. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. Thank you, Rolene. We'll catch you same time, same place tomorrow. Don't forget the Israel Report brought to you by the Blue Agency.